Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin and his amazing, cute-as-can-be kittens. Ewan, we miss you. It's great to be here, and I'm so happy to get to hang out with amazing people, both on here in the Zoom call and then everyone that's here watching and listening live and participating in the chat. Everyone, you are all awesome. Speaking of awesome, before we dive into everything else, I want to remind everyone about the awesome Daily News Show. We don't have enough money coming in for that, and I know you've heard me say this. There's a real easy way to get me to stop talking about how we need money for this, and that's to send in more money. So here's the deal. We're bringing in about $200 a month, which is enough for us to run the Daily News Show only 2 days a week instead of Monday through Friday. That's about this close to not having a show at all. So let's fix that. Here's our goal. We need to bring in $400 a month. That gives us a little bit more than we need to run the show 5 days a week. Right now, it costs $385 a month to make that show happen. So $400 is easy to remember, and it gives us a buffer zone in case any of the expenses go up for the show. Kyle is awesome. You get this fantastic little news package ready and waiting for you when you wake up in the morning. It's just wonderful. So please, let's have some money coming in. Those of you that are already supporting the Daily News Show, thank you so much. I love every single one of you. You are awesome. For those of you that aren't, but you're in a position where you can, please consider doing so. I mean, I already love you, but you'll have that extra love of knowing that that I have the bonus love for you supporting the Daily News Show. So let's keep that show running. And with that, Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeff. It's Friday. It's great to see all of you. I was sorry I was only able to do a very brief drop in last week, but it's good.
Your
to be
cameo
back
was fantastic.
It was awesome.
I mean, it was so great to hang out with Team Cindy and to see you too.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you were there, Chuck? I didn't know.
Well, that's okay. I was in the driver's seat driving them around, so it was hard to see me past the chauffeur's cap.
Yeah, but you wear it so well.
That's what they keep saying, but I'm not sure I buy it.
You know, if Team Cindy is happy, then everyone's happy.
Yeah, but it takes. Well, never mind. We won't go there. Let's just say that you're right and go and. Move on.
Fair enough. And now I have my Chuck in his chauffeur cap image in my head, and it's not appropriate. This image is not appropriate at all.
I'm afraid.
Okay. Yeah. Don't ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Ben, yeah, no, just no.
Ben is doing the face palm already. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. And we're what? Only like 3 minutes into the show. Go us. Yeah.
So much for us being this show being scripted.
Yeah. Right. Ben, how are you doing?
I am great, Jeff.
That is fantastic. I'm picturing you in a chauffeur's cap too, just so you know.
Well, I mean, if I would have known that was the attire for today, I have a black suit with a black tie. So,
well, had you read the script, you would have known.
Nobody reads the script.
Nobody reads the script. Exactly. Nope. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a good week, and I'm very much looking forward to the weekend. I'm heading over to Vienna for a Christmas market. We went to Salzburg on, what was that, last Saturday, a week ago. It's almost a week, which was amazing.
You went to South Park? You were in Colorado?
Salzburg in Austria. Not South Park, no. I didn't see Kenny either, sorry. No, I went to Salzburg, and it was beautiful. If you're ever around Christmas in the area, highly recommend it. It's really, really beautiful. Yeah, so I'm good. Looking forward.
Ben, if you ever make it out here to Colorado, and we have a full day, like, I mean, a full day to spend, I am more than happy to take you to South Park. We'll actually go to Fairplay because it's all in the South Park Basin, and Fairplay is the town that South Park is modeled on, but there is actually a South Park in South Park. Yeah.
Isn't that Inception?
It's sort of Inception. Yeah. Yeah. It's a drive.
Yeah. I've been meaning to get out that way. Part of my family's from down south in Durango.
Oh, nice. I like Durango. Fun place. And the Durango Silverton Loop Railroad is, it's a, for those of you that don't know, it's a narrow gauge steam railroad that is still maintained. And so you can actually ride this, this classic American steam engine train through the mountains in Colorado.
Yeah, my grandpa was a big fan of that one.
I get it. It's a lot of fun.
Yep. And then you can go to Purgatory. Not Purgatory, Purgatory. There's actually a ski resort called Purgatory.
Yeah. And I've never actually skied at Purgatory. Yeah.
Probably too hot there.
Yeah. you need the warm weather wax for your skis and snowboard.
Well, I can say the villas or the hot tubs in the villas are very nice.
Good to know.
Good to know.
Yep. All right. Well, I suppose that it's time to start talking some news. And, you know, since we're coming up on the end of the year, I'm glad to say that it's not all deep, super intense stories. Which
there's
is
nothing going on, literally.
Right. That's why the first thing we're talking about is Apple rolling out their end of year replay for Apple Music thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can see. Okay. So I'm going to ask you, Ben, in a second, a question about your stats. Mm-hmm. But first, I'm going to tell people what this is, because Apple, I don't think, has been very good about telling people what replay is.
No.
All right. So, and this is bad that I have to start with. Okay. So you know how Spotify, they do the year in review thing for you and give you all the stats about everything you're playing. This is Apple's version of that. Yeah. And Apple has just been kind of sucky about telling people what this is. And, there you go.
To be fair, this is the first year they're doing it properly. They had a replay, which was basically a playlist, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
For years. And I mean, I don't know how long Spotify has been doing it, but it feels like 10 years.
It feels like Spotify has always done this. Excuse mm-hmm. me. Spotify also lets you share your review playlist. As far as I can tell, Apple does not let you share your replay.
I would have to try that. I think you might be able to, or it automatically shows up on your page if you're following.
Oh, well, okay. If that's the case, then that's a nice improvement.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, so while you're looking that up, Ben, you're showing stats from your replay from Apple Music. Yes. Is that information correct?
Yes, it is.
Huh. Okay. All right. I'm asking because mine is not. Like, I mean, there's a couple pieces of data that are accurate. Like the most played song is a white noise track that I play every night when I go to bed, and it's an hour long track, and that track is also an album, so it's the only song in that album, which makes it my most played album, but it is not showing as my most played album. In fact, my most played album is an album that I have never played, although I'm sure at least one or two of the songs on the album have randomly played at some point. But it's a Spanish guitar album that I've never heard of before. There's so much on my replay that's just not right, that you would think that it was someone else's, but there's just enough there that is right that I know it's mine. It's just wrong.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the part that they completely miss on this, other than having no communication, yes, it's like they think you're the only one that you want to share this information with, because Spotify makes it nice and neat for your Instagram stories.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I had to cut down screenshots.
Yeah, there are some screenshots that you can share, but you have to swipe through all of the things first to get to that. It's like the page makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Like, and then like information is duplicated, and all, it's like, I don't know who designed this.
Yeah, it's like Apple sucks at social media. Oh wait,
huh? I don't know, where have I heard that one before?
I mean, it's not like Ping or
Connect. What was it? But there was more.
Yeah, there was one before Ping.
What was that? See, it was so bad we don't even remember it.
Yeah,
we can
remember MySpace, but uh-huh, we can't remember all of Apple's failed attempts at social media that were horrible.
Yeah. Pong? No, it's not Pong. Yeah, I have the same thing. I'm pretty sure that my the albums and everything seems correct. And I know that like certain like Hans Zimmer or certain Madonna songs or whatever, I've played a lot because I really like them. They're not showing up in my list. And like the top song is like 8 plays or something. So it's not that it's something that I've listened to so much that it just drowned out everything else.
Was the other Apple Music service called Connect? Was that the one?
Yeah, I think there was definitely one, but I thought there was one before. I think Connect was after Ping.
Bob Beach is pointing out that Pong comes after Ping.
Thanks, Bob.
No, not always. Sometimes you only get one ping.
So just for the sake of completeness here for this discussion, I looked at mine, and Jeff, it's sort of like yours. It's these are definitely my songs, but I don't feel like this is accurate as far as what my most plays are. Mm-hmm. So, and that's fine, but there's kind of a larger question here for me anyway. And that is, first of all, I'm the one listening to it, so I should have a pretty good idea what the heck it was.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of more important, who else, why care? I mean, that's the past. You know, I'm more interested in listening, thinking about what I'm going to listen to after the show today than I am like what I listened to in August. So other than what Ben said, you know, if you're interested in sharing it on social media for some reason, great. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, this is one of those things where it's kind of cute. And okay, Spotify may have done it first. They may have done it better. They may have done it worse. I don't know, because I really don't care.
Hmm.
Am I the only one?
This is kind of more of a late millennial Gen Z type thing, where the social or the Spotify playlist stats are freaking everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing for the last, as I said, 10 years in December. Like, and I think, and it's not just Spotify. Like, this is a general thing that in December we look back and say, okay, but it's more about, that's interesting. Like, oh, it's interesting, like, what my most played audiobooks were, or like my favorite authors or whatever. It's interesting, and then you like to share it. it has absolutely no value for me, at least, and I think for a lot of people, as a playlist. I have the playlist. Those are my favorite songs anyway, so why do I need a playlist for it? I have that already.
Right. But I can imagine some people would like having the playlist, because while they have the playlists that they listen to all the time, they don't have this one that compiles the stuff that they're really listening to most often. And excuse me. And if you have an easy way to share that, and okay, if Apple did like Spotify, where you can have these collaborative playlists, then you and your friends could take your top lists for the year and combine them. And now you have like this best of with all this stuff from all your friends. And and now you have this really cool giant playlist.
Yeah. By the way, I as far as I can see, the replay, I think it went like when they launched it, it went back a couple years. So I have it from I have a playlist from 2016 to 2022. I've never even used it once. But I have them all. Yeah. I'm like, okay, why? Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, this is fun because I'm looking at like my top played albums. And it's completely wrong. My top played songs are, well, I mean, the top played song, at least that's right. It's the White Noise sound thing. But then looking at the artists that show up as my top artists, this is actually probably right. So there's one section out of all of this that I can look at and say, mm-hmm. yeah, this actually looks like what I've done over the year. But then looking at my albums, top album, 40 plays, the very best of classical and Spanish guitar. Nope. Never played the album. Jonathan Colton, Some Guys, 19 plays. No, I listened to it once. But then some of this other stuff, I mean, here's like Dave Brubeck and Paul Desmond album and Ray Cooter and Herbie Hancock. Here's another Ray Cooter. Okay, so there's stuff in there that sounds right, but it is just a mess.
Yeah. And by the way, I checked in the app. I'm not seeing, I mean, I don't know, Jeff, if you have added the replay playlist to your profile, but if you have, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it anywhere. And I can't see my own profile, so which is also quite stupid. So I don't know.
I'll check later. And if I can add it, I will.
Yeah, I've added it on my side.
Really
side,
weird mix of music.
Yeah, I've added it to mine. So if you check mine.
Okay, cool.
Should be there. But as I said, I doubt it. It seems to be a mess.
It's a mess. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, nice for Apple to finally do it, but it's not very Apple. It's not very Apple-like. It's like some poor junior developer or some intern slapped it together in like half an afternoon. And I'm sorry for the people who worked on it. I'm pretty sure they tried their best, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm assuming they worked hard on it.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, what I'm hoping is that next year's better, and it's more Spotify-like.
Yeah. The one from Audible is also pretty good.
Oh, check that out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait, from Audible, Patrice?
Mm-hmm. You get I think I already sent it out. It's an email from Audible where they tell you, okay, here, like, this is what you listen to. These are the top things that you listen to, the books, whatever, like the best authors, all of that. There's one from Audible.
Okay.
I shared it every year.
Maybe I looked at it, but that's kind of weird. I mean,
Yeah.
How many times do you listen to a book more than once per year?
There are certain books I do that, but I think it's also about, okay, your favorite authors and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not music, so I'm totally with you that it's kind of weird, but I actually quite enjoy that.
Okay.
Okay, before we move on in the chat, the third is saying that that their top is showing as Live Forever Oasis, but it should be Piano Man from Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm going to jump in with my Billy Joel take. His older stuff is wonderful. It's he just like became the heart of what New York was, and that was absolutely awesome. And then excuse me, and then later on, I don't like it as much, but that early stuff, like typically albums that a lot of people don't even know that he did, you know, Songs in the Attic, Turnstiles, those are great albums. Anyhow, so with that, next story. Apple has announced their App Store Best Apps of the Year winners, and they have some interesting choices in here. And when I say interesting, I mean in some cases, wow, that's really interesting. And then in other cases, it's, wow, WTF. So like the iPhone App of the Year is Be Real. And the only reason I knew what it was because when Be Real launched, I looked into it and played around with it. For those of you that don't know, Be Real, it's another attempt at a social network. And the idea is that instead of being like Instagram, where you as the user are controlling what you post and when, with Be Real, you get an alert on your phone, and now you have like 2 minutes to take a photo, and then that goes online.
Interesting.
And
Be Real, you will never tell me what to do.
Yeah, yeah. So I messed with it for a couple of weeks, and was like, you know, nope, I'm out.
And I mean, the App Store Awards. It's not as if there was a voting process or it's the most successful apps of the year or something. No. It's the editorial team, and they just pick whatever they want to highlight for whatever reason, because it makes them money or whatever, like whatever the reason is.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be cynical about that and say, yeah, okay, fine. Like it's the apps that Apple wants you to buy.
Yeah. Right? I have to say, it's really telling here that for games, they have a specific China category.
I was going to bring that up. What? Why China Game of the Year? Why not Germany Game of the Year?
That's weird.
Or how about Ukraine in Germany App of the Year?
People in Germany don't play games. That's why. No, I'm kidding.
But I have to say, this might be the first year I have not used an app or game on this list.
Ben, I think that's an interesting comment. I think that I played with GoodNotes 5 for a while, but I didn't take nothing away from it. It just didn't add anything to, you know, what I needed a Notes app to do. But you're right. In fact, a bunch of these, forget the games because I'm not a gamer, but some of the rest. Be Real is the only one I've even heard of.
Yeah. I mean, for the Apple TV app of the year, I've heard VIX is a good service, but I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, I've not heard of any of them.
Which is fine. You know, I mean, but yeah.
Wouldn't you expect that we, as we're talking about this, would have heard about some of them?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I tried out Be Real. I was a GoodNotes user for a while, but ended up switching to Notability. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the reason I switched to Notability, which is a great app, was because at the time I was doing a lot of work with someone else, where they were heavily invested in Notability. So it was just easier for me to be using the same app that they were. And it's a great app. So I switched and that's what I still use. Mac Family Tree, I know about that because
that's true.
Friends that are really into genealogy. So
yeah, there you go. True. And that's been around for a while too.
Yeah. Yes.
But why is that from April the best app of the year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I do have a theory.
I have one too. You first, Ben.
You know, we are so established in iOS and the Mac and the other Apple platforms in this point, in that we're set in our apps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My theory, if you scroll down on the article, quoting Apple, this year's winners encourage users to engage more deeply with their emotions, authentically connect with others, and pay homage to their heritage and the generations that came before them while envisioning how to create a better world today.
Yeah, and those are the cultural impact winners.
Is it just that or I mean, I guess I was sort of reading that as across the board.
Oh, and I was reading it as focused on just the cultural impact winners.
Well, and that's that's fine, but I kind of think some of that could be said about a lot of these apps, at least the ones I know what they do. Because like, be real, if you're supposed to connect authentically with the rest of the world, well, that means you're supposed to be, when Be Real says take a picture, then this is what I'm really doing right now.
You're supposed to be real.
Yeah. I'm really taking out the mm-hmm. trash. That's what I'm doing. It's boring, but that's the reality. So I almost feel like there may have been, I hesitate to say an agenda, but almost just this is what we think is important in the world right now. And so therefore we're going to look at the apps that best represent that.
Oh, there's 100% an agenda. As I said, it's the apps that Apple decided for some reason to pick. And if that is their agenda, that they say, we want to highlight this kind of apps, that's what they do. Said this is not a most successful app or best app voted by a panel of people thing. This is editorial.
Mm-hmm. So this question for the gamers in the group, if there are, to whatever degree, are there any first person shooters or anything that is of a quote unquote violent nature? Or are these all just, flowers and ponies kind of games? Does anybody know?
I have no idea. Well, Apex Legends Mobile, that's a fighter game.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm watching a video for it. So definitely a first-person shooter there.
Okay.
With kind of a fantasy flair to it.
Yeah. Okay. So that takes out my theory of this being edited or editorially directed in that way.
Yeah, Moncage is a puzzle game.
Yeah, which I have to say, with Apex Legends, getting back to the kind of conspiracy theories, I wonder if they chose that to try to court EA's favor.
and stick it to what's his name? Epic.
Well, I mean, not that, but Epic never had a large catalog of games. They had significant ones. But getting EA over to Apple's M1 platforms would be gigantic.
Do you think that makes that much of a difference when Apple highlights them?
You never know with the pettiness of companies.
That's true. Or individuals at the high level at companies.
Yes.
As we've seen with Twitter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, I think we have time for another story. So let's talk about the first reported successful use of iPhone 14's SOS.
The satellite SOS thing, right?
Yes, satellite SOS. Okay. So here's the deal. A guy in Alaska, he's out in the backcountry somewhere, which is kind of redundant when you're talking about Alaska.
Kind of, yes.
And ends up getting stranded. And so no cell service. He uses emergency SOS. And rescue services are able to find him in short order. And they were very impressed with the amount of information that the system provided to them and the accuracy of the location. And in the chat room, Bob Beach is saying that I have stolen every one of these stories from In Touch with iOS last night.
Yeah.
Bob,
of course.
That's every week.
Exactly. It's not even a secret. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Bob, I actually opened the links from Dave's show notes.
Yeah.
For,
I mean, for these. We had one story, the replay experience that kind of came from us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to talk about. Like, what else should we talk about? Those are the important, hard-hitting stories that are happening right now.
We're in the off season, people.
Oh yes.
And to be fair, when I got up today, I had enough time to get ready for the show and not look and see if there was any new and interesting content coming out from the.
There was not.
Okay, well, there you go.
I checked. There was no.
So since Bob Beach, by the way, Bob Beach, you are hardcore. You were up super late to watch In Touch with iOS. And now here you are watching the Mac show. All right, so Bob, this is for you. As you recall, last night on In Touch with iOS, I called out the thing in this Mac Rumors article. They said the man is traveling by snow machine, and being in Colorado, I know what a snow machine is. It's a machine that generates snow for you, so that you can increase the amount of snow on ski slopes. All right, why do they say he's traveling by snow machine? And I was trying to figure that out. So I did some research. He was traveling by snowmobile.
Okay. That's a different
story. Apparently the people at Mac Rumors don't know what a snowmobile is. So it's a
probably in California.
Mm-hmm. Probably California. Yeah. Yeah. Or and like in California, Arizona, that's not a state where it's just normal in the winter to see people driving down the streets on snowmobiles.
Mm-hmm.
And in Alaska, it's a state where, well, it's so most of the places are so remote, they literally have to fly in basic necessities. There mm-hmm. are no roads, so the snow machines, snowmobiles.
Don't think they need snow machines up there.
Macrame
not yet. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, there are lots of places in Colorado where you can see. At people's homes where they have the garages for parking their cars. And then they have the separate space where the snowmobile is so that in the winter mm-hmm. they can still go places.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Anyhow, so this guy used the emergency SOS satellite thing and it worked great. And so happy ending. He was safe. He's fine. And there you go.
The interesting thing to me about this is that a little farther down in the article, that this was on the fringes of satellite connectivity. In fact, it even looks like it may have exceeded the fringes, which is a good thing. But you know, I'm afraid that way too often for so many of us, you know, we think satellite connectivity. Okay, this is going to be good anywhere in the world, and the fact. Is that it's not 100% everywhere in the world for the Apple Watch. I mean, it's a lot. And obviously this guy, you know, good for him. I mean, he made it back and he made it safely, but you know, if you're going to do some of this stuff, just maybe that's another thing you need to look at. If you think you might be relying on your watch, make sure that it is, you're in an area where you can even get that connectivity.
Yeah, Bob Beach is saying, so there's somewhere you cannot be tracked. Well, with a qualification, there are places you cannot be tracked when you are using the satellite tracking system that Apple is participating in. There are multiple satellite tracking systems. So you could, say, get one of the other satellite tracker devices that's using other satellites that are in different orbits that can actually hit the poles okay.
Oh, no, yep. There is places you cannot be tracked.
Yep.
And maybe not on this planet.
Yep. Oh, okay, fair enough.
And I will say you are tracked all the time up in Alaska. It just happens to be by wolves and polar bears.
True.
No, I'm pretty sure it's the grizzlies in Alaska.
Depends on the part of Alaska. If it's the southern part, it's the grizzlies, where you occasionally get the pizzlies.
Because they're crossbreeding now because of the temperature changes.
Yeah. But once you get up north in Alaska, it's pure Arctic, permafrost. So the grizzlies, or not the grizzlies, but the polar bears are taking over.
Yeah.
So in other words, Bob, wherever you are, they can find you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just a matter of which they you're referring to.
Right. And how badly they want to.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of how badly they want to, I really, really want to talk about TSO hosts. They're awesome. Because they are much better than the transitions that I do. TSO Host is here supporting the British Tech Network, making it possible quite literally for us to live stream shows and to have a place for the website and all the recordings you can watch or listen at your leisure. So what they're doing is just leveraging what they do best, which is... have robust, like really solid, reliable server and bandwidth so that you don't have to worry about whether or not your content from your website or your podcast, your live stream is going out when it's supposed to. It's just going to work. What they're asking from us is so simple and wonderfully generous, because it costs a lot to do what they are doing for us, far more than we would be able to manage on our own. And without them, we literally would not be here. All they're asking is that we go out on social media and give them a thank you for being here supporting the British Tech Network. So please do that. And if it turns out that you've come to the conclusion that you need a website, or you found an amazing domain that you need to buy and use them for that, because they're really great at helping you get that domain name. They have that solid, reliable hosting. And because you're a BTN fan, you can get a 20% discount. Just use the code BTN20 at checkout and you get 20% off that order. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here. And Patrice, before you tell everyone about the chat, and thank you in advance for doing that, I just have to share that the other day I bought Ozymandias.com. because I thought it was incredibly funny, because you know the tale of Ozymandias, the great ruler that tells everyone to look upon his great empire, which is basically just a barren desert now. So I bought Ozymandias.com and redirected it to Twitter.com.
Oh, that's funny.
I would have had that redirected to the Watchmen.
Well, of course that would make sense. But I mean, look at Twitter right now. How could I not point it there? Anyhow, totally. Patrice, where can people find the chat?
Well, that is quite easy. If you want if you're watching us live and you want to chat with us, There is a really nice place that you can go to, which is chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And then you can talk to the nice people and see the links live and all of that. You can do that every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, and also every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. Show times can sometimes change because of scheduled, so I definitely recommend checking the website first, but or following us on the social medias, because we post it there. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact in your favorite podcast player of choice or on a website. You can still get to the really cool links that Jeff has posted, to everything that was talked about, like Bob Beach is doing and the third is doing and all of that, and also the cool things that are coming up. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there is a little calendar that pops up, and you select today's date, which is the 2nd of December? Yeah, 2nd of December. December 2nd, 2022. And then you're in and you see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. As always, you rock.
Thank you. And I wanted to mention one thing, because Christmas is coming up. In 2 weeks, we will have our Christmas quiz. So it's on the big show and on the Mac show. Two quizzes that week. There's no cool things, nothing. We're all going to get together and review the year in new story and in quiz form. So I'm getting ready for that, and it will be fun. It's been a BTN tradition, and it's traditionally also the last show of the year for us. So 2 weeks.
Yeah, you have to tune in, because what you'll see is just how poorly I have paid attention all year, even though I'm hosting both of these shows every week.
About.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And Patrice, I disagree. There will be cool things, because we'll be there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
True.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yes. I'm looking forward to both of the Christmas quizzes, holiday quizzes. What do you call them?
Christmas quiz. I don't know. Christmas does it quiz. Have a different name? I think it was just the BTN Christmas quiz.
Now, you see, does this tell you how closely I pay attention? I have been participating in both of these quizzes for literally years, mm-hmm. and I still had to ask what they're called.
Yeah.
Oh, and you and lets me host. I just don't get it. Anyhow, hey, let's do some cool things. Who has the first one?
I'll jump in, because there were a couple things that sort of led to this pick. As you all know, because of my brief appearance last week, I was traveling, stayed in a hotel that had absolutely, unconditionally, without a doubt, the worst TV remote interface ever. I could not get to the channels that I wanted to see. I could not put the sleep timer on without losing the channel and having to go back through a series of menus to get there. It was unbelievable. And it reminded me that of experiences that I've had in the past, as members of our family got a little bit older and they were confronted with, you know, the 50 button remote, and just what a difficult time it was. And they would hit a button and then they would be off into a different, you know, part of the TV functionality and couldn't get back. And so I came across this, because this is something I would love to have had when we were dealing with that for the seniors. And it also made me a little bit aware, just, you know, that how bad an interface can be. And this is called the Flipper. This is a big button remote for your TV. And it has the buttons that you really, really need. You have the channel up and down, you have the mute, you have the volume, you have the on off. That's it. And, you know, for most people, I really do think, how many times do you use all those other buttons? You know, the only other ones I might add to this that would probably confuse the daylights out of people would be a sleep button, you know, or an input button. And right there shows you how much of a geek I am, because, you know, I have multiple inputs coming into my screen. But you know, this is something that if you have a senior in your life, don't wait for Christmas. Get this for them and see if it will work with your cable box or can be made to work with whatever your setup is. It will save you a lot of aggravation. It will save your loved one a whole lot of aggravation. It just, it's the way it should be. Not every remote should be this way because of geeks like us, but there should be plenty of options like this out there for seniors or folks with accessibility issues who just need the basics. So I've not tried this, but you know, it's gotten great reviews here, and it's not a lot of money to experiment with. And of course, Amazon makes returns super easy. So this is well worth a shot.
Nice. Yeah. You know, I wish I'd known about this when my grandmother was still alive.
Yep. Right there with you, Jeff.
Yep. Bob Beach is asking if this was aimed at him, Chuck. And I'll let you field that one. What do you think, Chuck?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I mean, listen, if it makes your life easier, great. But, you know, Bob, I count you because you're here listening. Yeah, you're only 68. Big deal. No,
68? I mean, 68? That's barely middle age.
Yeah, exactly. And you're a geek like the rest of us. But, you know, they're folks.
That's a tiny, small baby when you want to, like, turn, like, you want to live for 20,000 years. So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, this could be for whoever it needs to be for. You know, I'm. That's fine. You know, it's nice that there is an option out there. Somebody finally is recognizing that not everybody needs these massive remotes with all the functionality that are there. That, you know, for heaven's sake, TV manufacturers, start selling your TVs with two remotes, the super sophisticated one, but then just the basic one for folks that only need those basics.
Actually, some manufacturers, I think LG was doing that. I had one of those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to deal with that quite a bit when I was at the Geek Squad.
Okay, well, then there you go.
All right, well, I'm going to toss this out there I'm fielding a question. People like us, we're at the other end of the spectrum where we need a lot of sophistication with how we're using our home theater systems. I'm concerned that my Harmony remote is close to end of life because either at some point the remote is going to physically stop working. Occasionally it acts kind of wonky. Or since Logitech doesn't support Harmony anymore, they're just going to shut off the server, which then bricks all of our Harmony remotes. Who is making something that is a good replacement for a Harmony remote? I have not found anything yet that does everything the Harmony does. So,
Jeff,
no idea.
I've been reading a couple articles, and I don't know that there's anything that can do everything the Harmony does. But it sounded like I think it's soft baton or sofa baton. Excuse me. I think is a new option. What was that, Patrice? You have one?
Yeah, my iPhone.
Oh, you're
I was gonna say the closest thing I can think is HomeKit control, and I'm kind of hoping that some kind of variant of the AirPlay specification makes it into Matter for universal control.
I mean that's cool, but shortcuts mixed in with all that, where you have to set up a shortcut that says, "I'm watching the Apple TV. Do all of these things," and then another shortcut that switches the television input. I don't think you can switch a television input with a shortcut.
To be perfectly honest, Most of it does it automatically with CEC through ARC.
I'm not sure. I think I might misremember, but I think with the Vizio you could do that.
Okay. Well, maybe when my Harmony dies, this becomes a thing where I have to sit down and make a bunch of custom shortcuts and then just hope that Apple doesn't break them. Like all of my shortcuts that involve Apple Music are broken.
Yeah. Oh, they'll break them like a number two pencil.
Yeah.
All my, Jeff, some of my shortcuts are broken on my Mac. They worked before and now they're broken. So.
Yep.
I just threw a link into the chat room. This was the one that I've been reading some things about, but I do not have any experience with it. So this is out there for information purposes only.
I've heard of Sofa Baton, and I'll do some more research into that, because if that can do everything that I need, then I have a good fallback when my Harmony finally dies.
Definitely sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
So it does.
Yeah. But also appropriate.
It goes with my chauffeur's cap.
Yes, it does. All right. So who has the next cool thing? Oh, that would be Ben.
Yep. Speaking of Harmony dying, it may be Friday today, but we're going to talk about Wednesday.
All right. So I want to talk about Wednesday, but before we do, just reminder for everyone, this is a no spoilers show.
So here's your first spoiler. Oh, Wednesday Jesus. Is the daughter of Gomez and Morticia Adams.
Well, that's it. I'm out.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't know that, you've probably been under a rock since the 60s.
Yes. I binged this show.
Yeah.
Over the US Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of people did.
Yeah,
maybe I binged it before that. I did, because I binged 1899 over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, I'm doing it in the other reverse, where I did Wednesday first, now I'm doing 1899.
That's the
so
same.
So you started on Wednesday, yeah, and now you're going back to 1899.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, I mean, just imagine Harry Potter and Jessica Drew mixed with the Addams Family.
That's you an interesting way to describe it.
You yeah. have Wednesday. It's basically a teen detective procedural set in the Addams Family universe. Located at
it's a high school boarding school for the supernatural.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's very faithful to the Addams Family universe. I thought for the most part the classic characters were done well. It kind of blends elements of both the 60s TV show and the 90s movies.
Yeah, there are nice nods to previous Addams Family properties.
Yeah. I mean, Jenna Ortega is going to be a star for the next 25 years.
Yeah, well, to be fair, she already is. But yes,
yeah,
she has a long, successful career ahead of her still.
She's a legitimate A-list leading lady at 20 years old.
It's a really fun series.
Yeah. So if you are someone who grew up with the Addams Family, and let's face it, I was born 3 days Halloween, so this has been up my alley my entire life.
Nice.
It's really well done. I mean, it's Miller and Go, so whatever, however you pronounce his last name.
I think Miller is correct.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's great. And Bob Beach is saying he's only ever seen the original series from the 60s. Bob, this is a nice nod to that. And and you'll still have fun and enjoy it, even if you haven't seen the movies that were that came along later, where Christina Ricci played Wednesday Addams. So some of the little nods that they give to the movies, you'll miss because you know, haven't seen the movies, but it won't matter because it's not like they're doing anything in this series that requires you to have knowledge of any other Addams Family property.
Yeah, it's the way they do fan service is always in service of the plot.
Yes. And yes, Bob Beach, you see Morticia and Gomez, you see Thing, you see Lurch, of course. So yes, the characters that you are used to seeing are there. Pugsley as part of this as well. So yeah, you get to see those characters.
Only Cousin Ed doesn't make an appearance.
Yeah. All right. Another awesome pick. And Patrice, your pick is awesome as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And quite easy to use. And that is Backblaze Backup. So if you're looking for a really good, very simple backup solution, then Backblaze Backup is your thing. By the way, also, if you're like, I'm using it also on like servers and so on, they have a commercial. Let's say not commercial, but let's say more professional. I think it's even called Backblaze Pro solution for like for servers and stuff. It's like the Backblaze B2 basically. But this Backblaze Backup is the, let's say, the private backup solution. It's like, I think, $6 a month for unlimited backup. So you just install it on your Mac and it runs in the background and that's it. You never have to deal with it again. And if like it's fast, it's easy. And if you ever need to restore, I mean, one you can access, which is really cool. You can access the files from your phone. I mean, if you have your password with you at least. So everything that's backed up, you could even get on your phone. But if you ever have to restore it and you have whatever, a terabyte worth of data there, they can actually send you a hard drive. So
yeah,
it's not cheap, or it's not cheap upfront, but you get some of that data, some of that money back.
Yep. And when it comes and when it comes to, you know, your data security, Backblaze is proven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This, I mean, I'm hosting everything with them, like all my files. I have their B2 for S3 storage and so on for all the podcasts. Their stuff is rock solid, and it's, as I said, it's a really good, very simple and quite inexpensive backup solution. Like, you pay the money. There's no, oh, you only can use this much data and then you have to pay for it again. No, like unlimited. That's it.
It's and such if you a great set it, service.
If you set it up right, and even if you don't, it's hard to set it up wrong. But if you really set it up right, you will never even know it's happening.
No,
yeah.
It will just happen either completely in the background and not chew up much of your bandwidth, or you can do it, you know, on mm-hmm. the hours that you're not using your Mac. I mean, it has all the flexibility you want. Just do this, people. Just do it. You'll sleep better.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
No, it's one of those set it and forget it solutions. It's just mm-hmm. there.
Yep. I periodically go in and look at my dashboard for Backblaze.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm concerned that something isn't working right, but because I just like to look and see how much of my stuff it has backed up. That initial backup, boy, it can take a long time. But then after that, you know, it's just done. But still, even with that initial backup, which I think for me took a couple weeks,
mm-hmm.
I didn't even notice it was happening. No. It's the resource it's not a resource hog like a web browser. No. It just does this thing in the background. I don't even pause it when I'm recording anymore.
No, neither do I. I mean, honestly, I've forgotten about it. That's how good it is. It never caused any... I mean, to be fair, I have a quite nice like connection here. So it's not that I have to. It's never been a problem.
Yeah.
And one other feature I think that's worth mentioning, because now my workflow involves moving rather large video files on and off my drive. You know, once the recording is edited and everything, you know, but while it's there, of course, it could be chewing up bandwidth, backing up to Backblaze. It'll probably never finish in the time that it's on my hard drive. And, you know, it really doesn't need to. I can designate a folder so that Backblaze does not back that up. So yes, and I recognize the fact that I'm kind of contradicting myself, but that video file is just it's only there for a short production period of time, but it would constantly be renewing itself and chewing up the Backblaze data, and maybe to the detriment of the data that I do want backed up. So I just have that particular folder designated as don't back this up, and Backblaze ignores it and backs up my system, you know, seamlessly. So. Yeah. You know, if you have something similar, or something that under no circumstances do you want going to the cloud for whatever reason, you know, you don't have to do that. Although, as was said here earlier, the security is excellent. But if there's something that you really just are not comfortable with, just put it in a folder, tell Backblaze to ignore that folder, and it won't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I use the B2 solution, which is not as cheap because you're paying per gigabyte, so it can get pricey for my server. And actually, my entire what I do with those larger files is I put them up on OneDrive. Like when I'm done with them, I put them up on OneDrive, and then my server picks them up and backs them up to Backblaze. So it's not even it's not even sending it from my machine to Backblaze directly. It's just easier that way, because then I don't have to have the file on my machine even. It gets offloaded automatically.
Nice.
Good deal.
Nice. All right. So awesome picks all the way around. My pick is not going to cost you any money, but it will cost you time. And Chuck, I have a feeling you may end up liking this as a research tool, if nothing else. There's a guy that has made a website that lets you search Apple keynotes and for words and phrases. And what it does is it goes through the videos on YouTube and finds the content that you're searching for, and then gives that back to you. So you can see like every time Apple mentions the AirPad. And so now you know which keynotes it was in, how many times it was mentioned. The answer is it was in one keynote, but So it's really cool. It's free to use, and the guy that developed this, he's expanded it out. So there are a bunch of other like YouTube channels that you can search as well. So if it's one of the channels that he set up, you can go in and find whatever content you need from that. So it's really cool.
Definitely.
Bobby just saying, don't search for 5G links. It will be endless.
I mentioned the same keynote like 17,000 times. So.
Yeah.
Every time Tim says 5G, take a drink.
You wouldn't make it through the first 5 minutes.
No. I mean, if you're going to do that, what you need to do is dial 911 and say, I'm about to do an Apple keynote bingo drinking game.
Please don't.
And the keyword is 5G. So send the ambulance now, because by the time they get here, I will need it. Yep. Wow. This has been loads of fun. And I'm so happy that I've been able to spend what for me is the morning with the three of you. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. Everything links off from there. You can see everything we're doing. We do Mac Voices Live Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. We'd love to have you join us in the chat room. Right now, because I was away playing a little bit of catch up on some of the back Mac Voices Live recordings, we will have another edition of the Mac Voices Gift Guide out next week. I believe that's gift guide number five. I think that'll be number five or six. I'm not sure. But if you're looking for things to give or get during the holiday season, that's a great place to go and figure it out. And yes, we will help you spend money, but if it's any consolation, the panelists are spending my money too. So
and if you're not looking to spend any money or gift anything, just listen to it anyway, because it is really entertaining.
Yeah, we do have a lot of fun. And on the socials, pretty much any social that you care to name. I got to stop saying that, because now there's so many that, you know, everybody's exploring all these alternatives. So I'm going to say on the main social platforms, I'm at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices.
Okay, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah. Hey, Ben, when you're not gallivanting around the galaxy, where can people find you?
You can find me at Ben Rathig on the social medias, except for the one that looks like an elephant, which is at Ben Rathig ass at.
That's right. He's at Ben Rathig's ass.
Yes. Okay,
good to know.
At Ben Rathig at mastodon.online. Because, you know, I have to know the zip code on that one.
Yep, you do. Yep. Ben Rathig's ass, that's a completely different website, and it's only for adults. Yeah,
that's on nightmarefans.com.
Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays, at least for the next 2 weeks, because then we're off. You can find everything I'm doing, including some of the social media links and all the projects and podcasts and all of that. Also my Mastodon link, all of that on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food related stories and memories, head over to foodieflashback.com, where I have a interview show.
Awesome. Wow. I guess it means it's my turn now. Okay. You can find me on the various socials, Jay Gamut. I try and get that everywhere. So in the spirit of kind of combining Chuck and Ben here, the ones that I'm active on are Twitter, Instagram, and Mastodon. So on Mastodon, I'm on mastodon.social. Also, speaking of Instagram, I have started my Lego Advent calendar that started yesterday as we record. And when we're done here, I will do today's. And so that shows up on Instagram, Twitter, and Mastodon. And for those of you that found me on Facebook, it'll be there too. Okay, so then most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on The Big Show, and then Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS, here on the Mac Show on Fridays, and then also on the Context Machine, because Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up again. Hey, thank you to the three of you for being so awesome, excuse me, and making my Friday morning just loads of fun. Thank you to all of you that are here participating with us live. All of you absolutely rock. And if you're watching or listening later, hey, thank you for being part of this as well. All of you, every single one of you, absolutely awesome. Thanks to TSL Host for being here to support us. Give them some online love and let them know you appreciate them too. Thanks to Mueller for making sure we have people every week for the shows. And a thanks to Ewan for just being the heart of the British Tech Network. Thank everyone. You're just awesome. Let's see. Next Thursday, the big show. Next Friday, the Mac show. And then the week after that is when we'll do our last shows of the year. And those will be the Christmas quiz episodes where you can watch me bomb horribly as I fail to remember everything we talked about throughout the year. It will be epic. Thanks again. Everyone have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week.